All right, let's go ahead and have our devotional. We will have song number 10, if you happen to have a song book, if you want to follow along there rather than on screen. Song number 10 will be our invitation song in a little while. All right, so for our devotional, let's consider the question, what's in a name? What's in a name? You know, the title of this particular devotional I call Live Up to Your Name. We need to live up to our name. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's consider a few things. We need to, the question, of course, then is what's in a name? And so the answer to that is plenty. There's plenty that's in a name. Especially when we consider the name that the Lord has given to you. We see in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You're going to be called by a new name, he says. And of course, that's prophesied 700 years before that new name is given. And we see that name in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We need to live up to our name, brothers and sisters. Christian means one who follows Christ. It means one who is the disciple of Jesus. Do you live up to your name? Let's consider, we're going to look at five kings of Judah. And we're going to look at their names and see what they mean and see if they lived up to their names. And the five kings, these are the five kings that Jeremiah dealt with. Jeremiah dealt with the last five kings of the southern kingdom. Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. These five kings toward the end of the southern kingdom of Judah. We will see how well they lived up to their names. We see Josiah, the son of Amon. We see him his name means whom Jehovah heals, whom Yahweh heals. He's famous for being made king when he was 8 years old, and he reigned for 31 years. And we see that his name, of course, means whom Jehovah heals. You know, Josiah tried his best to heal the land, especially after the tragic and wicked reigns of Kings Manasseh and Amon. The land was in great peril. In his eighth year as king, he was 16 years old, and we find that his heart begins seeking after the Lord. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verses 1 through 3, when Josiah becomes king. We also see there that when he is 20, in his 12th year, he begins to destroy the idols that he finds in the land, in the high places. When we look at 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 15, that particular passage tells us that he even destroys the altars that are set up by Jeroboam about 300 years before this point. And such a thing was prophesied all the way back in the time of Jeroboam, in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 2. In his 18th year as king, Josiah is 26 years old. He purges the temple of all the wickedness that was found there, all the idols and wicked things. By doing so, the high priest at the time, Hilkiah, finds the book of the law. And he begins efforts to observe the Passover feast. And indeed they did. It was a Passover that had not been since the time of Samuel. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 18. You know, God may not have healed him, as we see here. There's no indication that he was healed. But through Josiah, he was healing the land. Then Josiah becomes a bit haughty. At least that's my reading of what we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 35, verses 20 through 24. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, "What have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroy you." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, "Take me away, for I am severely wounded." His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem. So he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. So, we note here that the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was speaking the words of God. And there's every evidence here that he wasn't lying, that he was indeed speaking the words of God, and Necho knew it. He was just passing through, as it were, passing through Judah to get to Carchemish to fight. And Carchemish is by the Euphrates, north of Palestine. And so he's on his way up there. And yet Josiah decides to pick a fight with him. This was the downfall of several kings before him, wanting to pick a fight when it wasn't what God wanted. As a result, Josiah dies from an arrow wound. While he was busy healing the land, he himself was not healed from that wound. After him came a slew of terrible kings with names that are just laughable, given their track record. Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah. That name means Jehovah has seized. He was 23 years old when he became king and reigned for 3 months, just 3 months. He was an evil king, as we see in 2 Kings 23:32. So he was taken captive by Necho, the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, after only 3 months. So instead of being seized by God or Jehovah having seized him, it was Necho who seizes him and takes him. Next, we see Jehoiakim. And one of the interesting traits that we see of two of these five kings is that they have names different than the names that they were given when they become king. And this is one of them. His original name is Eliakim, and he becomes Jehoiakim. And he is, of course, the son of Josiah as well. And both mean basically the same thing. Eliakim means God raises up. And Jehoiakim means Jehovah raises up. He was 25 years old when he becomes king, and he reigns only 11 years. Ironically, though his name insists that God raises him up, it was really Pharaoh Necho who raised him up. Necho had taken Jehoahaz and had installed Jehoiakim to be king. He even changed his name from Eliakim to Jehoiakim, perhaps to give him more legitimacy in the eyes of the people. But despite the length of his reign, reigning for 11 years, he was an evil king. We see in 2 Kings 23:37. Then we see Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin, take the office, become the king. And what that name means, Jehoiachin, it means Jehovah establishes. You know, he was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigns again for only 3 months. He was also an evil king, as we see in 2 Kings 24 and verse 9. He was later taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. You know, if he were really established by Jehovah, don't you think he would have reigned longer and with righteousness? Later Babylonian kings, however, would treat him well, as we see in the last few verses of 2 Kings. Then we see Mattaniah become king, and his name is changed to Zedekiah. He is also the son of Josiah. Mattaniah means gift of Jehovah, while Zedekiah means Jehovah is righteous. He was 21 years old when he becomes king, and he reigns for 11 years as well. Sort of a repeat of what we just saw. He too was an evil king, despite many warnings. Let's take a look at 2 Kings chapter 36, verses 12 through 16. Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. You know, if he were truly a gift of God, if he truly thought that God was righteous, why would he rebel against him? You know, as a result of his wickedness, we see that the kingdom was destroyed. Only a remnant, 4,600 people, survived and were taken away to Babylon. In fact, let's keep reading, starting in verse 17. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So, we note that the land was now finally enjoying her Sabbaths. It was resting from the wickedness that had been going on all around them. And eventually the land was healed, as Josiah's name implies. You know, there's a point to going over all this, that despite all their names, they never lived up to their names. None of these kings that we talked about lived up to their names. Can you live up to yours? Now, my name is Stephen, as most of you know, and it means crown. I'm not exactly sure how I can live up to that, being a crown. But that's not really what I mean. I don't mean, can you live up to the name of Sam or Sonia or Carol or Donna or Tim or Kathy? I'm not asking you if you can live up to those names. I'm asking you if you can live up to the name Christian. Can you live up to that name? No, we don't typically choose our legal names, but we do choose our religious name, and that name is Christian. While the Lord chose the name to call his people, as we saw in Isaiah 62 and verse 2, you choose that name by becoming a Christian. Are you living up to that beautiful name that you wear, that name of Christ? You know, we talk about Christ so much, and especially in our Sunday morning class. Do you live up to that name? Is it a badge of honor for you? Or is it a shame to you? Do you wear it with pride, or do you hide it every chance you get? Are you living up to the ideals of what Christ exemplified here on earth? I dare say that most of us, in fact, all of us, aren't. We fail. We falter. We make mistakes. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is he understands. He's our advocate. He looks out for us. And even when we fail him, even when we fall, there's always a path back. And that path is, if you are a Christian already, that path is to repent of your sins and to turn back to him and to obey him. If you aren't a Christian, that path is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sins turn away from them and do what's right, to confess the name of Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I encourage you, if you have a need this evening, let us know about it. In just a moment, we are going to sing a song, and there'll be some instructions on the screen that you can follow if you need to obey the Lord. I encourage you to do that this very evening as we sing this song.